Canton's Morning News with Pam Cook continues now.
Well, last week he previewed the big meeting for us, and this week he's going to tell us exactly what happened. We have, of course, on our WHBC newsline right now, State Senator Kirk Schering. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Pam.
So how was the meeting with Ruth about Route 30? It seems like it was successful.
Yeah, I would say it was great. We had people attend from all across the United States. We even had an Italian construction company, Pam, that is headquartered, its U.S. headquarters are in Miami. They came to this event. And, Pam, they all came because of their keen interest in this new public-private partnership we are proposing for U.S. 30. We call it the Opportunity Corridor. And what we do under this new public-private partnership is we maximize the return on investment for the private sector partners who will help to build the highway. That's important to note, help build the highway with their dollars. And at the same time, because now we've got other money, it will significantly reduce the expenditures of the public sector. And the other thing we really emphasized at the conference is when you do this, you got to make sure that there's an economic benefit for the private investors, that the public sector that pays for the highway sees the benefit of the reduced responsibility they have. But overall, the community at large needs to look at this effort as a way that will improve their quality of life. So I think that's important. But here's one thing. The elephant in the room is that public dollars for infrastructure have become increasingly scarce. And there's fundamental reasons for that, Pam. For instance, under federal government, they don't have a dedicated revenue stream. And money for highways and infrastructure in general sometimes goes up, sometimes it goes down because they have to compete with other federal programs. Sometimes the priority of the federal government is that they have to shift the dollars to something else. On the state of Ohio, we actually have a constitutional amendment for transportation infrastructure with a separate budget and a separate revenue stream to pay for transportation infrastructure. But as we found out over the years, that revenue stream is not indexed and therefore can't keep up with inflation sometimes. And when it doesn't keep up with inflation, that means the amount of money available for building and improving infrastructure is scarce. So that's why this is important. Now, if I may, I'm going to just give you a snapshot of some of the presentations.
Yeah,
I
mean, absolutely.
We have actually companies, mega companies who came and was a part of this. Mears, for instance. Mears is a wholly owned subsidiary of Quanta Services, which is a Fortune 500 company. Mears specializes in the planning and construction of high-speed fiber optic networks, including data centers. Data centers, that will be the hub that will bring valuable internet services to the community around the corridor. Lattice Industries, they are a global expert in monetizing data networks that benefit both business and residential users. Here's a good one. This was, I thought, very, very interesting. T. Nolan, who is the president of the Federal Infrastructure Bank. Mr. Nolan brought up several interesting points, and I think this really strikes home. He said the United States has a $5 trillion infrastructure need, but doesn't have the ability to pay for it, piggybacking on what I was saying earlier. China, by the way, our economic competitor, has a multi-trillion dollar infrastructure plan with over 50 million construction workers to build it. And by contrast, even though we recently, and thanked the members of Congress for doing it, we recently passed a federal infrastructure bill, but it only provides a little bit over $500 billion of new money a year. So if we're going to build highways, if we're going to improve highways, I'm firmly convinced it's going to take a public-private partnership to do it. And that was the essence of our conference.
And you know, so much great information shared, and really bringing, I don't know, movers and shakers, I guess, all to one place was a really, really good thing. When it comes to actually getting something done for Route 30, do you think you took a step forward there?
Absolutely. I closed out the conference by telling everyone how happy we were with their attendance, the questions they posed, the interaction we had, the presentations that were made. And I said the next step is we will be contacting you to talk about you all signing a letter of intent. And no one pushed back. In fact, we had several who came to us and said, yes, we will sign a letter of intent. Great. The letter of intent takes this thing from a hypothetical where we're saying that it could happen, maybe might happen, whatever, to where we can solidly say, here's the companies that say they intend to be a part of this. And that will help leverage other entities to follow, and even will help us with the public sector as we approach them eventually to put money into this project as well.
All right. And aside from that, let's turn it around just a little bit and say, what was their impression of the Hall of Fame Village?
it just was spectacular. It was a perfect backdrop. They really were impressed. You know, and we talked about this earlier. I did that thing back during the Hall of Fame week and the Hall of Fame game. Anybody that I've brought, and I know you've talked about the same thing, Pam, I would encourage your listeners, because it really is impressive, and it was a wonderful backdrop, and they really were very complimentary of what's going on at our very own Hall of Fame Village, which is right next door to the wonderful Pro Football Hall of Fame. And by the way, we did go over there afterwards for a reception, and we had a very special surprise when we got over there.
Yeah, you know, it's doesn't surprise me that he was there at all, because, well, tell the folks who it was.
Well, it was the guy who said he's here to see us and meet with us because he is a strong advocate for a shorter and faster route from Pittsburgh to Canton, his second home. And it was none other than Franco Harris.
He needed a faster route to Canton. Come on, he made his own route to Canton. It was pretty fast, right?
Well, I think he actually flies, but that's okay.
That's so funny, but that's awesome. That's all. It's true, though. People from Pittsburgh love to come over here to Canton to see.
Yeah,
the
I
Hall
know.
Of Fame.
Well,
yeah.
Your team keeps on sending Hall of Famers over this way. We know that.
Well, not after yesterday, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's right. Well.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm so glad it was a success, and I can't wait to continue to hear how things turn out, you know, the letters of intent and how you move forward with that. That sounds great.
Well, we might have another continuing saga. How's that?
That sounds good. I always like those. I like those. Well, we'll continue it all next Monday. How's that sound?
Sounds great, Pam. Thank you.